So we continue to monitor the situation in New Zealand, Christchurch, New Zealand there. Earthquake strike, 6.3 magnitude, at least 65 people dead already from the rubble that fell on top of them. And then, of course, astronomers warning that we could be in for a Katrina-style solar storm. So you never know what's going to happen there. And, of course, there's always Yellowstone. The super caldera blows up every 640,000 years. It's overdue as well. And what's this about a brown dwarf star in our solar system? Well, up next, we'll talk with Lucas about all of that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Wayne Young, known to most as Lucas, is the creator and producer of the DVD, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. Webmaster of Rabbit Hole 2, with the number, rabbithole2.com, an alternative news site that tries to explain how our sun has always been locked in a binary orbit with a brown dwarf star known by the ancients as the Destroyer. The Dark Star, Nemesis, Nibiru, Satan, Devil, and the Dragon. Here he is tonight on Coast to Coast, Lucas. Hey, Lucas, I don't know whether to call you Wayne or Lucas.
Oh, you could just call me Lucas. I appreciate you having me on, George. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure. Looking forward to it. And how did you get the nickname?
Well, basically, I came up with basically a pseudonym and an anagram. It's living under constant unstoppable suppression. So that's how I came up with the word Lucas.
Good for you. I find it fantastic that astronomers are beginning to think that maybe there is that planet X in the solar system, which could be this brown dwarf star. Something's got to be going on out there, Lucas.
Well, yeah, actually, this started a long time ago. This started back in the 80s. In fact, that was the consensus back in the early 80s, was most of the scientists believed that there was an object in deep space that was causing the orbits of Uranus and Neptune to have a little dimple in them. And there was all these news articles that came out across the early 80s that basically said they had found something up there. And then all of a sudden, everybody just, you know, shut up about it. They just stopped talking about it.
I remember an ABC news story back right around then about the possibility of another planet or another heavenly body somewhere in the solar system that was out there. Then they just dropped it. Everybody dropped it.
Yeah, they just, I think they figured out that they didn't want to cause any hysteria, so they decided to start keeping it quiet. In fact, we're actually at the 28th anniversary today, 28th year anniversary of an article that came out in the Associated Press that scientists claim killer star exists. And that was on February 22nd, 1984. So they've been looking at this for almost 30 years now.
This is a very strange time in our lives, too. I mean, we're seeing world-changing events occurring on a daily basis. On the coasttocoastam.com website, we've got a story of a little city that has a 100-degree weather change within a matter of weeks. They went from being minus 31 to plus 69. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really interesting. And that's quite a temperature swing there for sure.
Earthquakes, astronomers now warning of a solar storm that could devastate us electronically. And you have looked at the super Yellowstone caldera, this brown dwarf. Everything seems to be happening at one focal point.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They've with Yellowstone last year, 2010, several miles of ground raised up over 10 inches in 1 year. And they've been having numerous earthquakes there that the USGS has been actually deleting them from their website. The seismic monitors or the seismographs are hooked up directly to the website. So when something happens, it's automatically posted. Somebody actually has to go in there and physically delete it.
Well, why are they deleting it?
Well, they don't want to raise public hysteria. You know, it's important to keep the public calm during this time, and because if everybody knew it was about to happen, there'd be mass hysteria. People would stop going to work. They'd become depressed, and we'd probably go into this event with a collapsed society.
Well, you know, it's overdue, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're well overdue for that. And, you know, if you look at the past, you know, every 3,600 years, it seems like there's a cyclical event that basically resets humanity back to a hunter-gatherer status.
Well, and you're looking at these events also, Lucas, unfold in the Middle East, where people are just at a point now where they've had enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they've been propping up these economies and these little micro dictators for years and years now, and it just come to a breaking point where they cannot prop up this system anymore with all the little scams that they've piled on top of each other to keep the economy alive.
Absolutely. Hey, before we get into all this, tell us a little bit about Rabbit Hole 2 and also your Destroyer Star DVD.
Well, basically, it's a site I designed to make it easy for people to kind of understand what's going on out there. How it started out for me, I started out young researching this stuff when I was in my teens, and then I was researching conspiracies and things like that. And as we all know, JFK left a sour taste in everybody's mouth.
Yeah. So,
you know, I started researching more and more, and then, and I guess in about 2004, I started realizing that there was something bigger, that why is all this happening? There has to be some sort of big motivation behind all this. And then I started finding out that all the powers that be and the corporations were relocating to the hills, and that was kind of a signal. So what I did is I started compiling lists of ancient civilizations and when they rose and fall, and I found a definitely cyclical pattern that went in there. And so what I did is I had put this all together in a presentation specifically just to show my friends. And I had shown my friend the presentation and showed him all the spirals, the cave drawings and the petroglyphs. And then 3 days later, the Norway spiral. And I'll tell you, nothing will send chills down your spine than showing somebody about all these spirals, and all of a sudden it appears in the air.
Yeah.
So I went to Brave New Books, which is the owner is a friend of mine, and I showed him, and he asked me to show it for an audience, and I thought that there was going to be maybe 10 or 15 people there, and about 100 showed up, and it was filmed and put on the internet and gained instant success, so I designed a website around it, and here we are today.
Good for you. Good for you. Have you looked at prophecy? It's baffling at how similar different civilizations have come up with the same conclusions.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things I think about prophecy is that it's not, a lot of it is not actually people predicting the future. It's people that either have access to ancient information of a cyclical event. For instance, the stuff that I'm talking about today, thousands of years in the future, they may say, oh, that guy's a prophet, but I'm not a prophet. I'm just somebody who was here when it happened and was able to put it down on paper.
Well, that's true, and good for you, and I'm glad you have. How did you get interested in the binary star theory?
Well, I noticed all these articles, like I said, to come out in the papers in the 80s, mm-hmm. and there was in the 1987 New Science and Invention Encyclopedia, they list that they sent the pioneers out to look for the dwarf star, the brown star. Actually, back then, it used to be called a black star. They rechanged the name from a black dwarf to a brown dwarf. But I started looking into it there, and then, you know, lo and behold, I start researching all this stuff, and everything just falls into perfect line for this being an event that causes basically our magnetic field to fall down. That's why we're getting all this extra sun stuff happening. It affects our sun tremendously. It affects the planet, and it goes by, and then we start over, and there are 3,600 years, it happens again.
Now, a brown dwarf basically is an object that is too low to sustain its hydrogen fusion. So it's not like our sun. What's it doing, Lucas?
Well, basically what it does is it's a very dense ball of hydrogen gas and other gases, and it's almost invisible. It's very, very close to invisible because it's so cold. It's only between 10 and 40 degrees above absolute zero. And what it does is it emits all of its energy in a form of subatomic particles as radiation. And that's why we can't see it, because basically light doesn't bounce back off of it. They didn't even detect the first brown dwarf star until 1995.
Has it got mass to it?
Oh, yes. It's got a lot of mass. It's probably about 8 times the mass of Jupiter. And
which is what they think they have found somewhere out there in the solar system.
Yeah. Well, basically, they're preparing the public. The powers that be and the governments are really stuck in a catch-22 situation here. They can't tell the public, but yet they want the public to prepare for this. So they're trying with things like this and all these TV shows about survival and, you know, Armageddon and all this stuff. They're trying to slowly get this into the public mindset so that people start to prepare now and not everybody rush out at the last second and empty the store shelves.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, why did they talk about it, though, in terms of being a possible planet, as opposed to saying it's a brown dwarf star?
Well, I suspect that that's part of the disinformation campaign, because as long as it's called a planet, then every astronomer in the world is going to say, oh, we would have saw a planet out there by now. So if it's labeled a brown dwarf star, then people would understand a little more that it's near impossible to see. In fact, even if it's like right up not far from Earth, all it's going to appear to us is a big dark circle in the sky.
Well, and if you say planet, it sounds heavenly, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got that illusion of that feel that, hey, maybe it's got life. Maybe it's like ours. But when you say a brown dwarf star, that truly gives you that dark perception that there's something wrong out there.
Yeah, this thing has been around most likely since the extinction of the dinosaurs. If you look at the historical ice core data, you can see that the world had a certain way about it, the temperature. And all of a sudden, when the dinosaurs were wiped out, the world went into this cyclical type of rising and fall of the temperatures.
Did this star get captured into our solar system, or was it always there when the solar system formed?
Well, I do believe it got captured. The Sumerians, their theory is that Earth was struck by this object long time ago, which formed the moon. They called it Nibiru. And that basically this object is what broke off our moon. Or actually, I'm sorry, one of its moons hit planet Earth and broke off our, you know, the pieces that formed our moon today. And it's been in this binary orbit ever since.
Now, the Sumerians also believe, though, that the Anunnaki came from this planet or whatever it is.
Right. Now, that might just be misconstrued. They might have just come around about that time period. Like, you're seeing all this, you know, this UFO activity now has been tremendously heightened over the last couple of years. So maybe they're just here to witness the event. Maybe they're here to help. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, and there could be more than one extra object out there, Lucas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there could be the brown dwarf star orbited by another couple little bodies. That's for sure.
Now, this one, the astronomers are calling it Tyche, and they claim that it is massive in size. They are pretty sure there's something out there, though a few other astronomers are saying, no, they don't believe it. But I don't know. I tend to like what these other researchers are saying, that there's something out there.
Well, do you know what the Tyche means?
It's a goddess, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a goddess, but it's the sister of Nemesis.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, so it's a real coincidental.
Now, is every star system in this universe got a binary twin to it?
No. They've recently found out that most stars, the majority of stars, are in a binary, trinary, or even more star orbit. But for our sun to be a single star would be the exception to the rule.
Okay, now, if it's out there, what, and it was captured, how did it get captured, first of all?
Oh, it was probably just, like I said, it's a ball of gas. It's an undeveloped star, one that never had enough mass to become a bright star.
Really never got ignited yet.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't have enough mass to cause a nuclear fusion reaction at its core. So basically, it was probably just wandering around and just got locked in an orbit with our sun, you know, long, long time ago. And it's been there ever since.
And if it is on this 3,600-year elliptical orbit, as Zechariah Sitchin has proposed, God rest his soul, and then it comes around, it comes close to our planet, and that's when we have this havoc all the time?
Yes, basically what it does, let's take the moon, for instance. As the moon goes around the planet, it forms a little tiny tsunami called a tide. A bulge of water follows the moon around the planet. Well, this object is very dense, super dense. Maybe a couple inches of it would weigh thousands of pounds. And what happens is, as it comes up from the south, a wave forms down in the south, and the world still spins, but the wave stays in one place, focused towards the star, and as it moves north, once it reaches the equator, where the water is much deeper due to centrifugal force, the spinning of the Earth, the waters pile up, and they basically wash over the land, and then it passes by, and everybody restarts, and here we go.
The flood of the Noah's flood?
Well, yeah, the Noah flood, the Atlantis flood. It's really unique how everything ties into this 3,600-year orbit. You have 3,600 years ago, you had the fall of Jericho, Sodom and Gomorrah, the exodus from Egypt, the destruction of the first Babylonian yeah. kingdom, the Sup civilization, the Shia, the Minoans, the first Egyptian dynasty, the Indus Valley people. That all their civilization collapsed at the same time. Then if you go back 3,600 years before that, you've got the creation of the Byzantine calendar, which we go by today. There was all these super volcanoes that erupted, mega tsunamis. Then you go back before that is when Plato dated Atlantis to sinking, right? And then you go back 3,600 years before that, and you had all the extinction of the giant mammals of the world, like the mammoth, the giant American deer, things like that.
How close does this dwarf have to come to our planet before it really plays havoc with it?
Oh, it doesn't have to be very close at all. I mean, it's going to be quite. It's not going to hit Earth or anything, and it's probably going to be about the same size as the sun, from what the ancient Sumerians talked about. It's probably going to look about the same size as the sun when it passes by.
But its closeness, its gravitational pull—that's what creates the problem.
Yeah, and I think, see, what we started going into the ice age actually 3,600 years ago. The temperature was a degree and a half hotter. The ocean levels were 17 feet higher, and the days of the year were 360. And then this event happened, and the Egyptians had to switch their calendar to 365. They included those extra 5 days and called them Days of the Dead. The ocean levels started dropping. The temperature started dropping. So we actually started entering the first phase of the Ice Age 3,600 years ago.
Now, this star, then, when it comes around, when it does what it does every 3,600 years, plays the havoc that we have on this planet. Might it then be responsible for what's happening today?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, basically everything, almost everything that you see going on is related to this event, whether it's the ecological changes or whether it's the preparations by the governments to try and prepare for this event. Pretty much everything you see is related to this.
You got to assume then the closer it gets, the more havoc on this planet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the close, when it makes its journey north, it'll probably be a last-minute thing. Nobody will even see it until the last minute, like it says in the ancient text, it deceiveth all mankind because nobody can see it.
What are some of the things it could do to us?
Well, the radiation, that's one thing is, it puts out large amounts of X-ray radiation and various radiations, and besides the flood, there's going to be lots of earthquakes. There's going to be massive earthquakes all over the world. And, it's going to cause volcanoes to erupt because the gravitational pull is pulling on the lava underneath the surface of the Earth and pulling that towards the top. So it's going to cause earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, everything, basically everything you could think of.
The extreme temperatures?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be temperature variations. There's going to be definite temperature swings.
Is this what the Mayans knew about?
I do think that is the case. The ancient civilizations had access to knowledge that we just don't have today. It seems to me that the humanity was technically advanced about 12,000 years ago. And at the end of the Ice Age, the ocean levels during the last Ice Age were 500 feet lower than what they are today. And so all the humanity lived along the oceans like we do today. And Atlantis was not actually a city. It was an entire civilization all around the world. So when the ice caps melted, the water rose and put all those cities underneath the water. Those people that were survived that spread out and made the Egyptian pyramids, Angkor Wat, Tiwanaku, all the various anomalies like Easter Island. And if you look at these on a map, you'll find out that all these anomalies that they can't figure out how they were built all form a perfect circle that show where the pole of Earth used to be at that time.
Now, does it get close enough to us where you can somehow make out what it is?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be just a big black circle in the sky. It's In fact, that's what I believe the Norway spiral was. If you notice the video of that, the spiral ends and then it turns into this big black disc in the sky. And you see the blue beam coming off of that and heading down towards the rising sun. That's the plasma interaction between the two bodies.
And you think that was our dwarf star?
Yes, yes.
Fascinating. All right, stay with us, Lucas. Our special guest is Lucas, otherwise known as Wayne Young. RabbitHole2.com is his website, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Lucas, what will it take for scientists to admit that indeed, beyond the two astronomers who think it's out there, that this brown dwarf is there?
Well, many do admit it. If you look at the Binary Research Institute, lots of scientists believe this. It's just that you don't see them on the news. They're not covered on the news. The ones that promote the theories that keep the public calm are the ones that are seen on the news.
Yeah, well, that's true. Now, tell me, what's your take on chemtrails? How does this tie into this?
Well, for years, a lot of people have been seeing these chemtrails in the air and saying, oh, the elites are killing everybody. They're killing everybody. Well, I started doing research into it. And first thing you have to look at is, what are chemtrails made of? Well, a news report out of Louisiana, the news went out there and took samples, had it tested, found high levels of barium. Barium absorbs radiation. It's known as a getter. It basically, it absorbs the subatomic particles as they come into the atmosphere. That's why they've been spraying these things all these years, is because they're trying to block out the radiation. And, you know, the thing that led me to that about chemtrails was I was thinking, well, you know, the elites are people too. They have families, they have friends, they have children. Why would they be poisoning themselves? So they must be doing something, the lesser of two evils is to try and block the radiation out. And that's exactly what barium does. It absorbs radiation. And what do brown dwarf stars do? They put out radiation. So it fits
interesting.
Perfectly.
So you're convinced we know about this?
Oh, certain. Yeah, certain people and governments do. China's building all these giant ghost cities. I'm sure you probably heard about that.
Yeah, that's weird. Weird.
Yeah, they're building all these cities ready for habitation. We've prepared tremendously here in America. They've moved all the facilities up to the mountains. They've relocated the CIA, the military. They created a new branch of the military called NORTHCOM, which basically runs the entire military, and they located them in the mountains in Colorado. So they are relocating everything to the mountains.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about Yellowstone.
Okay.
Because this is so significant. There is so much activity there. This thing blows up every 640,000 years. It's a caldera, which is almost like an inverted volcano, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's got that look to it. It's underground. It doesn't stick up above ground. And then when it goes, the whole thing just goes down, and then it blows up. I've been told, Lucas, that there's enough ash in that area that if it blows, you could have 3 to 6 feet of ash throughout most of the United States.
Yeah, and that's not the only that's not the only problem with Yellowstone. It's got a very high glass content to its lava. They found it last time that Yellowstone erupted, animals died on the other side of the planet, because what happens is these little tiny fine microscopic particles of glass that look like snowflakes get caught in the lungs, and your lungs think it's a bacteria, so they produce phlegm, and what happens is it causes a pneumonia-like situation. So they found that different mammals had died all the way on the other side of the world last time Yellowstone erupted.
All right, so what are the possibilities that this thing could happen in the next 20 or 50 years?
Well, the way that things are going, it looks like it's picking up. They've installed all kind of new monitoring equipment out there throughout Yellowstone. There's been all kind of swarms of earthquakes. And you notice the swarms of earthquakes don't generally happen throughout the summer, and they start, like in 2008, they had a bunch of swarms that were like in December, January, and then 2009, the same thing, and 2010, the same thing. So the swarms seem to pick up towards, like, when the Mayan calendar says, December 21st. So it seems like whenever we're at that part of space around the sun, we're close to something that's affecting it.
Well, that could be. New Madrid, that's another problem.
Oh, yeah. They've been getting lots of earthquakes out there recently, especially in like Guy, Arkansas.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And
Greenbrier and everything else. They've had 700 in the last several months.
And remember, that's where the first bird kill happened, was in Beebe, Arkansas.
That's
which
right. Good point.
Not far from where all the earthquakes are happening. And then the first fish kill that happened was only a few miles to the west of that. So, that's it all pretty much ties in together. Not only that, but the government is preparing. FEMA just purchased 140 million MREs for, and they cited in the reason why they're purchasing.
And for people to know, that's storable food.
Yeah, storable food. They basically purchased these MREs, and they cited in case of a New Madrid fault quake. Mountain House, too. They're constantly running out of freeze-dried food.
So what is your take on all of this? I mean, what do people do?
Remain calm. That's probably the best thing you can do, is not get all freaked out, because, that'll be detrimental to the greater whole of things.
So. I mean, it's happening now. You can feel it. You can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Most people can feel it. You don't even have to watch the news or anything to know that there's something really big in the works right now.
Well, and I'm even convinced, Lucas, that let's assume there is this brown dwarf out there. You believe it is. Let's assume it has some kind of gravitational effect on the planet. it's got to have the same kind of effect on people, on their heads. You know, we're primarily water. We see what happens during a full moon. I've talked to enough EMTs and police officers who say they get more crime and bizarre reports and call-ins during full moon periods than any time.
Oh, yeah. Now, you bring up a really interesting point. Let's go back to the story of the Tower of Babel that happened when this happened. Yeah. Everybody forgot how to talk, okay?
Yeah.
When this object happened, basically they lost their ability to talk. See, the human brain throughout our lives, from the time we were born, we build these neural net pathways in our brain that can be easily broken by subatomic particles. So if we get a rain of subatomic particles on the planet, I mean, depending on which side of the Earth is facing at the time, many people might actually be taken back pretty far in IQ.
I have had people tell me, Lucas, that they feel weird, physically weird, strange sensations that they've never had before. I mean, they think that they're having panic attacks, heart attacks. They go get checked out and they're fine. Is it possible that this kind of gravitational pull would have an effect on somebody that way?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's a combination of things. I mean, look at all the media that's been pumped into us for the last 20 years. Look how it used to be with Andy Griffith and now how the TV is today. So I'm sure that that has a big part of why people feel stressed, seeing all the murder and death and all that on TV. But besides that, I would say that, yeah, the subatomic particles are a major impact on people's lives.
Tell me about what the ancients said about this time period today.
Well, they were there's a book called the Colburn Bible, which is a compilation of ancient Egyptian and Celtic texts from back around the time that the Bible was written. And they described it pretty in depth. They said one of the passages says, "It twisted itself about like a coil. It was not a great comet or a loosened star, being more like a fiery body of flame." And then they say, "The doom shape is a circling ball of flame which scatters small fiery offspring in its train." And it said that God caused a dragon out of heaven to come and encompass her about. The seas were loosened from their cradles and rose up pouring over the land. So the ancients, not only the Sumerians, but the Egyptians, the Celts, and a lot of different, there's over 1,000 global flood myths throughout all the civilizations of history.
And how would the ancients have described this? You say perhaps a dragon, the devil, Satan?
Yes. To them, you have to look at the history. We had technically advanced society like 12,000 years ago. Then it got wiped out, and we kind of went back to, you know, a hunter-gatherer status, and then it built up slowly, but it never really got that far during the last the time period, you know, when Moses and all that existed. But basically, what's you know, they have tried their best to put it down. They've put ancient petroglyphs. That's one of the things that really turned me on to this, was noticing the spiral petroglyphs all over the world in high mountains. That was the key. You don't find very many of these spiral petroglyphs in lower-lying areas. They're all up in the Rockies, the Andes, the Alps, things like that.
Well, and it's happening.
That's what it looks like.
Did they see this as a god?
I would think that they saw I think that they would think that it was more or less the evil side of things. A lot of the ancient cultures worshiped the sun as god, and this would be the dark sun, the Satan, the nemesis, the battle between the two, the eternal battle between light and dark.
Tell me about the San Bruno gas explosion. What happened?
Well, that's really interesting because right at the time the San Bruno gas explosion happened, there was a news report. They saw a fireball cross the sky. Many of the people there witnessed something coming down. You remember the reports that people thought a plane had hit, okay? People saw something streak down to the ground. If you look at the pictures of the crater, you can see all of the debris scattered onto one side of the crater, which would indicate that something came in at an angle and blew all that stuff out. You know, the planet's been hit by 4 major asteroids in the last year.
If the Mayans knew about the brown dwarf in, let's say, 2012, December 21st, right around that period, it would be closer to start doing some things to the planet. Might that have been one of the reasons for their calendar?
Oh, yeah. They were very sophisticated. In fact, they had knowledge that we still don't possess today. Like, they were able to create a calendar system that is more accurate than our own calendar system today. I forget the exact number, but it's more, definitely more precise than our own time.
There are a couple experts out there who have also predicted the brown dwarf binary star system as well. Years ago, people laughed at them, Lucas. I'm not sure they're laughing anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, people used to laugh at, you know, they used to execute people for saying that the world was round, or that the sun, you know, that the Earth orbited the sun. So, I mean, this has been a history of governments and religions and that sort of thing throughout history, is to go against, you know, they get an idea set in their head, and if you go against it, you're a tinfoil hat wearer.
Why did they call this the Destroyer?
I would probably think because it caused a lot of destruction.
Yeah.
There were so many different names for it. Phaeton, like I said, the Destroyer, Satan, Nibiru. It has so many names to it, and Apollon. So I guess each different culture came up with their own different idea of what they wanted to call it.
From a distance, they never would have known it was there. When it gets closer, how did they know?
Well, all the Earth changes that were happening. You look at the 10 plagues. Look what's going on today with the birds and fish and all that. There was something that caused humanity's downfall 3,600 years ago, and it all seems to be playing out right now in today's time period.
Does that tie into the Doomsday Seed Vault?
Oh, most definitely. That's the Doomsday Seed Vault was a collaboration between the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Trust, and about maybe 15 different nations to store billions of seeds up in Norway.
Well, one, I think it's smart that we do that. But two, did they know something? Do they know something we don't?
Yeah. I mean, it's just remarkable timing. You know, that's one of the cues, is all the timing on this. Like, I'm sure you saw that the sun rose 2 days early in Greenland this year.
Yeah.
The news talked about that it was global warming and the ice caps melted, which is about as ridiculous as you can get. But, there's so many things happen. With CNN had a story that was expect to see two suns in the sky because Betelgeuse is going to go supernova. So all these little hints are aligning at exactly the same time.
Why the secrecy?
Well, because, like I said, there's an interesting video on YouTube. It's called the Madness of a Lost Society that everybody should watch. And it's about Black Friday and how people act and how people riot over $10 toasters. Now, if you can imagine how people act on Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. They get trampled.
Exactly. So they're trampling people for $10 toasters. Imagine what people are going to do if they think they can't get their hands on food or things like that.
A number of people died in Mali. They went to see an imam, blessed them, and they stampeded and crushed each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. Jeez. Because that was all based upon a rumor that wasn't even true. You know, there was a rumor that spread that there was a fight, so everybody started running and trampling each other, and the fight never even happened. So that's how easy it is to manipulate. That's the problem with crowds of people. Okay, when you get a crowd together, the overall IQ drops to about 37, I would think, because, you know, they don't think rationally. They move and they do things on the spur of the moment, and that's why they keep this down, because it's important to keep the whole system running at this point in time.
Are you convinced that the power elite, that they have their own little underground shelters and they're ready to go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got they've built several facilities all throughout the Rocky Mountains. It's one thing I'd advise is to try and, you know, don't be that person that's out beating on their gate trying to get in. Prepare now. Don't be the person that they end up having to, you know, deal with down the road, because they're not going to be very nice when they deal with crowds of people trying to get into their facility.
They're not going to let them in, are they?
No, they're not going to let them in, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went even further than that. So, you know, it's probably in everybody's best interest to start, you know, stocking up on food and water and water filters and things like that now.
Well, what would happen if the president held a news conference one night and said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that there is another star in our solar system. It's a brown dwarf. and it comes around every 3,600 years. Science thought that they knew it was here. We have now confirmed it. We have been able to track it by going back into computer models, past dates, and it appears that every time this object gets pretty close to the planet, we have an Earth catastrophe of some incredible magnitude.
Well,
people would go nuts.
Yeah, probably about a quarter of the population wouldn't go to work ever again.
They'd rob.
Exactly.
Look what's happening in the Middle East just to get rid of these dictators. If people knew that the end was near, that would be curtain time.
Exactly. And also, you know, look at New Orleans. I mean, you had cops looting stores. Okay. So, I mean, you can't even trust that the police are going to maintain their post during times like this. Most of the police and military with families are probably going to abandon their post and go home to their families.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they do that or not. I know some cops that would stick it out to the end.
Yeah. Well, we're in crazy times and we're in uncharted territory here. Nobody's really survived this event before.
But you really don't know what people will do when they're pushed to the limit.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the whole catch-22 situation there, is the power elite do not all agree. That's one thing that's a popular misconception. There are different people in the power elite that have different ideas of how this should be handled. Some believe that it should be kept completely silent. Others believe that it should be slowly let out there to the public, and that's what we see now.
Does this brown dwarf bring asteroids with it?
Oh yeah, it's got a an asteroid belt around it, much like ours, and that's what we're seeing now. We're getting hit fireballs galore. Almost every day in the news, you see a fireball. Now, before, these fireballs were like a once-a-year thing, and now you're seeing them almost every day.
At what point will these astronomers, for example, who claim that they know where Tyche is, when do they get muffled?
It looked like back in the 80s. Remember, you're old enough to remember back in the 70s, the big talk was Ice Age. Remember that?
Yep.
Okay, all over the papers, the news, all that Ice Age coming. And then all of a sudden they sent up the pioneers. They found this object, and the whole thing changed. That's when they deregulated the economy in the 80s to basically create endless amounts of funds to deal with this event. And that's pretty much when the whole facade started to keep the public occupied while they prepared.
And they did prepare. The Denver Airport, you think, is one of those places.
Oh, the Denver Airport is an amazing thing. It cost way more than, I think it was supposed to be $1.4 billion budget, and they ended up spending close to $6 billion on it.
The carousel for the suitcases is almost that much.
Yeah, and it's got this very high-tech roof, like this tent roof made of this Kevlar designed by NASA. Supposedly it's got all these underground facilities. What they did is they would hire a set of contractors. Those contractors would go build a sub-level, then they'd fire them. Then they'd bring in another set of contractors.
So they wouldn't know the whole puzzle.
Yeah, and then they'd build the next set and so on and so on. So you have all these different contractors in the area out there talking about all the weird stuff going on there. You know, the murals, you have all these murals depicting the apocalypse, the end of times. I mean, the murals are alone enough just to send shivers down your spine.
All right, Lucas, we'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about the Destroyer Star.